You can just keep going if you like. Well, welcome to Wednesday night at Horizon. Wednesday night is BYOB night, for those of you that don't know that. Sunday, of course, you know, is yours to explore, and Wednesday's BYOB, so if you have brought your B, please get it out right now and open to Mark 14, verse 3. If you haven't, raise your hand, and I'm sure we'll find one. John will get one for you. Now, tonight's story is a love language story. It's a story where Jesus' Bethany friends listen to his love language and they respond to it. Now, how many here have done the either the book or the small group, the five love languages? Anybody ever? There we go, got a couple. So I can see the men here are kind of going, I thought he said it was BYOB night, you know? Sounds like a chick flick. Okay, relax. Okay. Now, Dave, take this hand, put this over on Liz's hand, and you hold that the whole night, okay, for husbands and wives. Okay, that's my suggestion. Just endure it tonight. No, it's a really nice story. Courtney and I did the five love languages, and Courtney's my wife right here, and I chose quality time, and Courtney chose acts of service, and she's a lot wiser than I am, so... I figured out the acts of service thing is to absorb all the quality time. So I end up doing quality time by doing acts of service for Courtney. So you can see it's working for us, you know. I recommend the five love languages highly. The love language thing, the whole thing about it is it's about listening to each other's love languages and then responding in a genuine way. Let's start off with a word of prayer. Father God, in your word, you tell us that if we seek you, we'll find you, and you reward those who diligently seek you. Lord, tonight, we diligently seek you. Please reward everyone here as we seek you through worship, through your word, and through our acts of service at Horizon, your church. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Well, let's read our lesson for the night, Mark 14, verse 3. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial." Assuredly, you always got to pay attention when Jesus says assuredly. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Now let's get the context for this story. It is the timing is probably Saturday night of the Passion Week. So this is before Palm Sunday, before Jesus comes and proclaims himself officially as the Messiah, as the Son of God. And there is a chance that it is sometime either Saturday night through Tuesday night. Some scholars think that, but the Book of John leans pretty strongly towards Saturday night. Now, Bethany is the place that it takes place. And if you could picture here in Cincinnati, Mount Adams, in downtown Cincinnati. Mount Adams would be the Mount of Olives, and Bethany is on the south slope of the Mount of Olives. And then 2 miles to the west is Jerusalem, and that would look like Cincinnati. And the scale is, it's roughly the same. It's a rough approximation. And the Mount of Olives is a special place for Jesus. It's where he preached in the last few weeks. Doug's been teaching on the Olivet Discourse. And he taught, Jesus taught that on the Mount of Olives. It's where he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, that critical and important prayer. And it's where he arose to heaven. And finally, it's where Jesus will come back from heaven to earth on that exact same spot in the Mount of Olives. Now, Bethany is also special because many times Jesus stayed with his inner circle of friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Bethany also was where lepers lived. Now, the city of Jerusalem, like many Jewish cities, separated out the lepers because they were, of course, contagious with terrible disease. And Bethany was the place where Jerusalem's lepers were. And our story takes place in the home of a leper. In Jewish culture, one would never eat in the house of a leper. Eating together in those times, and still today in many times in many families, is a special time where people share their heart and their soul with each other. But when lepers got around Jesus, a funny thing happened. They tended not to be lepers anymore. So before Jesus came to town, I could kind of imagine Simon's house with a sign on it that says, you know, beware, you know, stay away, unclean, Simon the leper. After he got with Jesus, I could see a sign that said, Simon the fashion model, you know, here's the number of my agent, you know, call me up. So I think Simon invited Jesus and Jesus' friends over to his house as an act of service and appreciation in response to Jesus healing him. Now, maybe Simon heard through the healed leper's communication network what Jesus said up in Galilee in Mark 10:45, where Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." And Simon understood that to mean God saying, "If you love me, love my people." Just maybe, I don't know. From John's account, we also learn that Martha and Lazarus and Mary were also there at this dinner. John 12:2 says, "There they made him a dinner, and Martha served." Looks like another act of service in response to Jesus' love. After all, Jesus brought Martha and Mary's brother Lazarus back from the dead. Remember uptight Martha? Well, she did acts of service. You all remember her sitting, getting on Mary's case and really getting in Jesus' face, saying, "Hey, you know, I'm here serving and working," and she was serving in an angry way. And she got in Jesus' face another time and chewed Jesus out two different times in Scripture. And lived. You know, that's the amazing part. Can you imagine, you know, like one of those baseball coaches, you're getting right in the face of God and surviving that. But at this dinner in Bethany anyway, instead of getting right in Jesus' face, it looks like Martha's starting to get it. Looks like she's just following Christ and happily and contently serving him. Well, here's my favorite guy at the dinner. It's Lazarus. Now, he's just sort of kicking back, hanging out, you know, living large, so to speak. You know, living life at all is a good thing for him. I think that special sense of appreciation he has is kind of contagious. And it's important that we kind of look through the eyes of Lazarus. Now, Lazarus also was a wanted man at this time. The same Sanhedrin of chief priests that wanted to kill Jesus was going to kill Lazarus. Because after all, Lazarus was a witness for the miracles of Jesus, that Jesus was the Son of God. So the chief priests were talking and conspiring about whether they should kill Lazarus or not. I don't think he really cared too much. Lazarus is kind of hanging out, lounging. Now, these were the tables back in those times were not tables and chairs. They were kind of low, and you kind of slumped and lounged, and, you know, sounds pretty good. And Lazarus just kind of kicking back, you know, relaxed, saying to the chief priests, "Hey, come on. Try to kill me. Go ahead, kill me. I don't care. You know, my buddy Jesus here will just bring me back to life again." So I like his attitude greatly. Now let's get on to our main character of the evening, Mary and her eternal memoir. As Jesus said in verse 9, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. All right? Well, what has Mary done? What has she done that's worthy of Jesus himself personally telling her story throughout time, throughout the world? And just as he predicted that the gospel shall be preached throughout the world, here we're talking about it tonight, even in Cincinnati, Ohio. Well, Mary did two simple things that each of us can do in our lives today. She listened to God's will, and then she did God's will obediently. Simple, right? Well, the obedient part is the part that usually throws me for a tricky ringer. So, taking our cue from Mary, how do we listen to God's will? Well, we sit and listen at Jesus' feet in prayer, in his word, and through discerning, trusted sisters and brothers in Christ. Mary was an excellent listener. Each time we see her in the Bible, she's at Jesus' feet, listening and learning. Pretty good test of listening is when we can listen to God in hard times, when things aren't going well. Even when Mary was mourning the death of her brother Lazarus, where do we find her? Right at Jesus' feet. I think there are a bunch of Marys out there today in the United States reading Mark 14 and following it obediently. There's a lady named Rena Peterson, and she's an editor at large for the Dallas Morning News. In Rena's book called What's Next, she talked to hundreds of women over 40 who had a pretty good second half of life going. And Rena asked them what their secrets were. So, two out of the three secrets were the following. First, find time for solitude. Get by yourself and listen to God. Hear what he wants you to do. And listen to the other ways God speaks to you. It will be through your own life and through the lives of others. And second, what Rena writes is, develop a perpetual prayer life. Through prayer, you come to better know God and yourself. Through prayer, you also separate the wheat of your dreams from the tares. All right, well, let's read on in verse 3, how Mary responds to what Jesus says and what she heard Jesus say, being the great listener that she is. A woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard, and then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. From John 12, we also know that she anointed the feet of Jesus and she wiped his feet with her hair. Now, in Jewish culture, it's customary to treat a guest with hospitality. Anointing a guest's feet and head was commonplace, and usually a woman servant would do this feet washing. Well, guess who reversed that culture? Now, I won't steal Doug's thunder, but in a few weeks, Doug will teach on the Last Supper, and you'll get a beautiful teaching on how Jesus reversed the culture. And, or, you know, it's okay here at Horizon to read ahead in the Bible. We won't tag you for that. Also, a woman of those times wore a little bottle of perfume around their neck. Now, I've got a little bottle here of frankincense and myrrh, very similar to the spikenard that Mary had. It's very expensive from the East, many times the area of India. This is what the Magi brought to baby Jesus, by the way. And a hostess would put a little dab of perfume from around her neck on a guest's ear or on the head somewhere when they entered. Just kind of a nice way to just welcome somebody. But it was certainly not customary for someone to pour a whole bottle, a whole pound of very costly, precious perfume on a guest's head. And it was certainly not customary to pour out 300 denarii, a whole year's wages. So what did Mary hear to cause her to do such an extravagant act? In verse 8, Jesus says, "She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial." See, Mary heard Jesus say that he was the Lamb of God on his way to taste death as an act of service for us, so we didn't have to. Mary heard that in the last few days before the cross, Jesus wanted to just be loved on by his friends. So for all of you here tonight who volunteer your acts of service here at Horizon, I want to say thank you for loving on God's people the way that Mary loved on Jesus. Now, Mary also heard Jesus say, "Don't worry about the disciples' selfish noise." You know, in the New York vernacular, I lived a couple years in New York, you know, forget about it. In verse 4, God tells us, "But there were some who were indignant among themselves, and they criticized her sharply." Well, they were wrongly focused upon the coming of Jesus' earthly kingdom as far as they understood it. See, in those times, they expected the messianic kingdom to come, and the very first time the Messiah came, for him to set up his rule and rule the earth, literally and physically. And they were counting on themselves being right by his side as his lieutenants and governors and such. And they were very selfishly focused on their earthly power and their earthly position, trying to fight over, you know, who gets to sit at Jesus' right hand, fighting over even who's the treasurer, you know, because this would be a big operation there on earth, Jesus' kingdom. And God lets us know in John 12 that the guy who stirred up the disciples here was none other than Judas Iscariot. And God called Judas a thief because Judas took money from the offering plate of their time. So he was quite the treasurer, Judas. You know, he was one of those guys that counted the offering, you know, dollar for me, dollar for the church, you know, $2 for me, 50 cents for the church, and so on. But contrary to the apostles in their current attitude at this moment in Mark 14, Mary heard Jesus say, "Do his will, no matter how much it costs." King David also heard God say the same thing. God told King David to go and make an altar on land owned by a guy named Ornan the Jebusite. And when David went to see Ornan about it, Ornan said, "Hey, you know, take it for free. Here you go." And it's interesting to hear what David said. He said, "No, but I will surely buy it for the full price, for I will not offer that which costs me nothing." So if you love someone, you can love them with a costly love. Mary joyfully loved Jesus, a love that joyfully cost her ridicule by Jesus' own guys, and it cost her a year's wages. Now here's an interesting thing about Mary. As perfect as she looks in the Bible, her name, Mary, or in the Hebrew, Miriam, means to rebel or to disobey. Does that sound familiar to anybody? It sounds familiar to me. I'm afraid to look and see what the name Keith means. Maybe my mom knows here. Possibly the reason that Mary listened all the time to Jesus was that she needed to do some will adjustment while she was listening. Now, here's a personal picture of some will adjustment in my life. Now, as some of you know, I had a shoulder operation, and the rehab is quite painful. It looks something like this. For the last 4 months, every day, 15 times a day, I have been wrenching my arm like this. You know, like when you were a kid, when somebody wanted to have you say uncle or something, they would be twisting your arm. You know, it really hurts. Well, I do that, you know, as a good thing, supposedly. And the physical therapist, it's called PT, I think it's for pain and torture. They twist your arm like this, you know, and They do this slow, 1,001, 1,002, all the way up to 1,015. You do this 15 times a day. And, you know, when they're cranking it up there at the higher numbers, you know, they're saying, you know, now, how much does it hurt? We have to get you to where you have tears of pain here. You know, are the tears forming yet? Are the tears forming? And they kind of are looking at you. And you say, yeah, all right, stop. I'm crying. Well, before I listen to God, my will starts off way over there if Jesus is way over here. So I kind of imagine Jesus, you know, looking around for Keith and Keith's will, you know, hey, I think he's over there somewhere. You know, I don't see him, but I know he's in that direction. Sending some angels and grabbing me by that arm, you know, and twisting it. And I'm kind of, you know, 15,000, you know, 20,000 kind of coming back to sometime my will might meet Jesus. Well, that's the way I expected to react. That's the process I expected to go through when I first considered serving at Horizon. But I was surprised. Back probably 5, 6, 7 years ago, we were at Crossroads Community Church, which is a sister church of Horizon, and the senior pastor called me up and invited me to become part of a team forming to start a church in Indian Hills. So, of course, my first answer was, hey, theoretically, that is a great idea, but I am too selfish. That is far too costly, you know, as far as my life goes. No thanks. But, you know, thanks for asking. And I did promise to pray about it. And my prayer kind of looks something like this. You know how you listen to God, that sort of still small voice, and sometimes you actually kind of get a sense for God's direction pretty clearly if you're quiet and not just talking at God and just kind of quietly listening in your prayer time. So when I prayed, it was something like this, you know, just quietly listening for a moment. And I heard God say, Keith, are you appreciative for what I've done for you to give you eternal life? And I felt 1,001. And then I kind of heard God say, Keith, there are a lot of my children that live in your neighborhood, and they don't know me. And I want them here in heaven with me forever. And I felt 1,002. In that time, I didn't make it to 15 because the tears were already forming. But they weren't tears of pain. They were tears of joy this time. Now, I've got a special draft. Well, it's a pretend draft of the Horizon Classifieds. If you look at the back of our Horizon Explorer, we've got the classified section on the back. And that's where we ask for different people to volunteer for different jobs. And here's the way Jesus talks about that Horizon classified section in verse 8. She has done what she could. When I look at the Horizon classifieds, I look at the kinds of things listed. And I say, hey, I could do that. And I thought about that type of a job that would be very costly for me back when I was praying about whether to serve at Horizon or not. And I called Brian Tome, the senior pastor at Crossroads, and I just said, hey, Brian, you know, I'm in. I'll do whatever you want me to do. It's kind of like looking at the Horizon classifieds. And over the last 5 years serving at Horizon, most of my time spent on Horizon classifieds type stuff, like all of ours is here. See, I can do that kind of stuff. And even more of you are already doing that kind of stuff. It may cost us, but relatively speaking, it's easy. Because you see, Courtney and I, we're not likely to move to Africa anytime soon and be missionaries. But right here in our own backyard, Horizon is a unique and powerful once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to serve God. Here's how Mother Teresa describes doing what we could. It is His work, a work of love. We can do no great things, only small things with great love. Mother Teresa could do the Horizon classifieds. Here's how two Christ followers described doing what we could when they celebrated their baptism last summer. I'm 10 years old and in the fourth grade. The reason I want to be baptized is I want to show God I'm ready to do anything I can for Him. Pretty good stuff. He's healed me of my addictions. He's healed me from a life of hatred and anger. And He's healed me from a life of poverty and illiteracy. I am in awe of what God has done for me, and I look forward to the rest of my life serving Him. For all of you Horizon servants tonight, thank you for doing God's will, serving at Horizon. Your costly, precious service to Christ is changing lives eternally. Your service does Lazarus-style miracles. It brings people back to life, eternal life. And your service, your precious sacrificial service, inspires others to serve. Here's a quote from a Horizon Mary that inspires me, as she says that she's the one that gets blessed by serving others. Go figure that. I have been blessed by such a strong call to Horizon. Here's another inspiring quote from one Mary to another here at Horizon. I have you to thank for showing me that working in children's could be a ministry. You've inspired me continually. I greatly admire your dedication, clear thinking, creativity, boldness, and commitment to excellence. As your church continues to grow, God wants more Marys. This year, can I ask you to pray for God to move people to follow your example? And can I ask you to pray for the Horizon Classifieds throughout the year for women and men like Mary of Bethany to fill those positions, for women and men like you all to fill those positions? Now, tonight we've got a special treat, and as the Bethany singers come out, in Ephesians 4, God says He's prepared a special work for each of us. So I think doing what you could do here at Horizon, pouring out your precious life, is likely that specific work that God's prepared. So to celebrate that thought, let's sit for the moment at the feet of the Bethany singers.
Rising up to heaven.
Breaking Sins. All right. All right. So finally, what happens to Mary after she follows God's will? What happens when she does brave and bold things for Christ? She gets blessed with an eternal memoir written by Jesus himself. Let's read the blessing, the last verse. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. What's your memoir? What's the memoir that Jesus is writing about you right now? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. I happen to have right here the publisher's draft. It's the authorized biography of the Horizon Saints. And it looks something like this. It's a heavenly rewards ceremony. So I need a volunteer for Heather, you're always a good victim. Now, this heavenly reward ceremony is biblically called the Bema Seat of Christ. And literally, it is in heaven. All the saints from all time, including the Horizon Saints, are there. And each one of us stands up at the Bema Seat, which is the Greek word for the award platform at the Olympics. And Jesus himself will give us crowns. So I'm going to place this crown. This is going to be the picture of each one of you. Now, I've just placed a crown of rejoicing on Heather, and I'm sure many of you, or most of you, will be getting a crown of rejoicing. This is for sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, which all of you are doing. There's also the crown of glory, and that's for the teachers and the pastors of all kinds, the ministers doing all those Horizon classified jobs. And at this heavenly reward ceremony, there will be witnesses. Saints will stand up and they will witness for the person who's receiving the reward from Jesus. I've got some some witness quotes here. I asked these folks if I would have their permission to read these. So, this is what it's going to look like in heaven. Thanks again for helping me get back to church. Here's another one. Book Club and Horizon have changed my life. Here's a good one. Working on the confirmation of my faith has helped me this year with my parents' deaths, serious family health problems, and the suicide of an old friend. All this would have been harder if you had not helped me by simply saying, try Horizon. Here's a good one. I've had the awesome privilege of watching God's love flow through me to places I could not have imagined it would go. I have a new peace I've never had before and a new excitement as I can't wait to see how God is going to work next. Here's a familiar one. Yesterday's children's program was terrific. Our friends, two of them exploring God, and one a Christ follower, all literally wept through the entire program. I think the rest of us did too. I could read these all night, but we've got to get going. So, these days, everything in the Bible seems new. Somehow, 20 years of church failed to make sense of the thief on the cross for me. Now it takes my breath away. Doug's talk on Sunday brought tears to my eyes. Now, okay, I forgot to mention one thing. At the Bema Seat of Christ, the saints are going wild at each witness. You guys can make some noise. So, right, it's okay. It's make a joyful noise, you know. It's in heaven and everything, you know. There's no more, you know, problems. Can't get in trouble for being loud up there. So right after this next witness, I'm going to ask you all to make a joyful noise here. Okay. Horizon truly inspires one to contemplate Scripture as it can be applied to current life situations. As a family, you have created a place where all ages, genders, and levels of spiritual commitment can come and feel welcomed by the presence of the Spirit. No condemnation, no judgment, just love. We would like to take this moment to express our appreciation for the divine gift. All right. Now see, each one of you are going to be up here and the whole saints are going to be going wild for you, you know, sometimes, so it's good. Now, as I read this last witness from a Horizon saint, I'm confident in the future, at that real heavenly moment when each of you, Horizon servants, stand in front of Jesus Himself, literally at the Bema Seat of Christ in the Bible, Jesus will recite this following witness many times over for your service here. Thank you again for everything Horizon has done for my family. We will be eternally in debt. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for Mary and all the Marys at Horizon. And thank you for sacrificially pouring out your life for us and for filling our lives with the sweet fragrance of eternal life. Your love is so easy. And Lord, if there's anyone tonight that's not absolutely sure that they'll spend eternity with you, if tonight someone is moved by you, Lord, can you honor this simple prayer for them to recite in their heart? Father God, I want the eternal life that only your Son, Jesus, can offer. In my life, I've messed up. I've missed your perfect mark. So please forgive me and love me. And please pour yourself out upon me. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.